Let's talk about this season, you know, winning the national title and trying to bounce back and try to defend that national title. Sometimes we've been talking about it here of being the hunter or the hunted and being on the top of that pinnacle of college football. It's tough to maintain that success.
Well, you know, everybody is shooting at you. When you have that, we have that a little bit here in Baltimore, and that we've won the division and went to the AFC Championship game last year. So, but what you do, you know, you don't allow expectations to become a hindrance. You know, you go out there every day, you set a standard that you want to live to and work to, and you know, you never allow those standards to go below. So, I think that's what Nick's doing there in Tuscaloosa, and that's what we're trying to do here in Baltimore.
Looking at the success that Alabama's been able to have, and does it remind you any of the 70s generation? You look back now, and that was a great decade of Alabama football history. But this era, it's not equal yet to the 70s of what you guys were able to accomplish of winning several national titles. But you can think about maybe 20 years from now, we'll look at this time period and go, wow, that was also a very successful time in Alabama football history.
Well, yeah, and especially from where we were before Nick got there. You know, Alabama, you know, during the 70s and a little bit in the 90s when we had Gene Stallings there, and then we went through a low period, you know, where, you know, we weren't in one of the national powers. But now, you know, Nick's doing a very good job of recruiting very good players. You know, he's got a great coaching staff. And they get them prepared every week, and each week they have a chance to win a game. And, you know, it's great to be able to, you know, now guys are going to Alabama to win national championships. They're not just going there just to win games, and that's the way it was in the 70s, so it's good to have it back that way.
Mr. Newsom, you're a general manager for the Baltimore Ravens. You have to make decisions on trying to find the best available player for the money that you'd like to spend. When you draft a Nick Saban player, do you know what you're getting? Do you know what type of person that Nick Saban's been able to help develop in the last 4 to 5 years?
Well, you know, he loves the game of football. You know what? He has a very good work ethic, and he understands team. He understands playing within the concept of team. He knows that he has to pay a little bit extra to win and be willing to do that. And then if they have the physical skills to go along with that, that's why they can be a success on this level.
Looking at the Alabama-Auburn game, and we know that Auburn's had their struggles. They're 3-8, winless in the Southeastern Conference, but it's still the Alabama-Auburn game. It's the Iron Bowl. It's one of the top pinnacles in college football as far as rivals.
Well, yes, it is. I mean, because, you know, it's right there in state. You know, you can go from one house to the next house in any city in the state of Alabama, and you might have an Auburn graduate or an Alabama fan, and, you know, they live together 365 days of the year. And if you lose that game, you got to suffer with it. So even though, you know, it's a game that's played every year, I think it's a game that's also talked about, you know, all the time. You know, people talk about winning and losing the Alabama-Auburn game year-round, so I think that's what adds to the importance.
What was your memory, the highlight of playing in so many Iron Bowls? What was the one that you take back and looking at your history of playing the Auburn Tigers?
Well, number one, I never lost to them. So.
That's always important, right?
Yeah, that is. And I guess the last one that I played, you know, they were an up-and-coming team, and, you know, to be able to, I think we even maybe got behind early in that game, and then we turned the heat up a little bit. But that very last game, being able to walk off that field knowing that I had never lost to the Auburn Tigers was a great feeling.
You are a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. You look at your history as a professional player, 7-time All-Pro selection, 3-time Pro Bowl, and look at the history as a college player, and some would call you the best receiver to ever play the game here in Tuscaloosa. Do you look at the redefined of that position? The wide receiver is utilized much more than what it was back in the 70s in your generation.
Well, yeah, the game has changed. I mean, you know, the quarterback is no longer playing under the center. They're playing in the shotgun. The game is more of a spread game, both on the college and it's coming into our league now. So, you know, the athletes are just as athletic, but they're a lot bigger and a lot faster than, you know, the majority of the guys that played in our league. But the game is a little bit more wide open. It's more up-tempo. You know, as Nick talked about, you know, normally you could have first down players and then second and third down players, but now you got to have every down players because with the speed of the game. But it's changing. It's because of the athletes that are playing the game right now. We're getting some of the top athletes in America playing the game of football, and that translates into the way teams are scheming things offensively and defensively.
You know, as a player, as a college player, you average 20.3 yards per catch, which is still part of the record books here in the Southeastern Conference. That was an amazing statistic. In that era of college football, 20.3 is something that even wide receivers this day and time would love to have that number.
Well, that's because we played in the wishbone and everybody was trying to stop the running game, the triple option, and I was able to get the one-on-one battles. And anytime we got the one-on-one battles, it was probably going to be a 40 or 50-yard pass. So, you know, it was just the way the game that was played during that time. And you didn't get a lot of receptions, but the receptions you got, they were for huge chunks.
You also played in 198 consecutive games. Let me repeat that, 198 consecutive games for the Cleveland Browns. You were very lucky or very blessed to have a fast healing body to be able to take that banging and to be able to go back out there week in and week out.
Well, I was lucky, and you know, but you find out along the way if you take care of your body will take care of you. And you know, the strength and conditioning came in into our league in my fourth or fifth year, where we started to train seriously year round. And I think that allows you to be able to play the game at a high level, but also to play it effective and not get hurt, is your ability to take care of yourself year-round. So I think I was lucky in that sense, being able to play. Maybe a couple of times I shouldn't have played, but, you know, when things are on the line, you just figure out, hey, if I all they want is what I got, and you can go out there and give that, and they were very helpful that I did it.
Mr. Newsom, you're part of the playoffs now. You play for making the playoffs in postseason, and no doubt the Baltimore Ravens are in position to do that. College football, sort of a playoff every single week. And, you know, this Saturday night, we were all jumping around the television set when we saw two teams that allowed Alabama to make that mix now as number one against number two, and possibly Notre Dame if that continues to happen. And no doubt, I'm sure I'll get your comment there. But do you feel like that the NFL, the playoff, and the college playoff, do you feel like that could work in college football in the playoffs? Would you lose something there in the regular season if you only played for four positions rather than only two?
Well, you know, I think, you know, you're only dealing with 32 teams in the National Football League, and, you know, we're set up in the six divisions. So it's kind of set that way. You know, can you find a proper way that, you know, how can you measure what four or five teams should belong in a playoff system? I don't think there is a proper way to do that yet like we do. You know, in our division, if you win a division, you get the opportunity to go in the playoffs, but you also can go into the playoffs by having one of the better records in the conference. I don't know if that would be able to be done, because I think in the end last year, I think you had the two best teams playing for the national championship, and if you don't, I don't know how you can create a system to be able to allow for that to happen, especially when there are two teams that had played against each other in during the regular season. I think it's a difficult process. I think every year somebody's going to be upset. You know, I can even recall back my senior year when we beat Ohio State, Notre Dame beat Texas. They jumped over us, and they got a national championship, and we didn't. So it's always going to be some inequities there. You just hope that you end up on the good side of them more often than not.
Final question. What would Notre Dame-Alabama national championship be like between two programs that historically just speak college football when you say the name Notre Dame or Alabama Crimson Tide?
Well, I think, you know, it'd be historic in that both of the institutions have a big following that nationally known. I think it will attract the attentions from outside of the United States, because I think we have fans that transcends the United States. I think it would be great for college football. I was on a conference call with a Notre Dame grad today, and he said they needed to play Alabama to get back on the map. And I go, how ironic is that? Because, you know, it used to be the other way. Everybody needs to play Notre Dame and to beat Notre Dame to get themselves on the map. So things have changed. I think it would be great, but I think both teams realize there's a lot of work to be done before that can happen.
Well, back in 1956 in Muscle Shoals, Alabama, a legend was born. Little did we know he would take himself to the Pro College Football Hall of Fame and wear that famous jacket, also a member of the College Football Hall of Fame. Now he's the current member of the Baltimore Raven. Happy Thanksgiving, my friend, Mr. Newsom. It has been our honor to talk with you here in Tuscaloosa and talk about two things that we love. Ozzie, I know you know this, but you've got a lot of fans in Tuscaloosa that your name comes up quite often, and we appreciate you spending some time with us here in T-Town.
Well, thank you. I always enjoy talking with you, and I want to wish you a happy Thanksgiving and roll tide.
Absolutely. Roll tide. And, hey, I don't know exactly. Now, my co-host is a huge Baltimore Raven guy, and he had a chance to talk with you, but I hear it every day about the Ravens, every day about the Ravens. So he's smiling. So keep winning there at Baltimore, no doubt.
That's what we're trying to do. You know, we got a big one out in San Diego this week. Then we play Pittsburgh again, so – the season is, you know, is heading in the right direction.